Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. My name is Jeremy. I'm one of the pastors here, and thank you for joining with us this morning. And if you're online watching, thank you that you are tuning in here as well. And we are continuing the sermon series on the seven last words of Jesus. We have started that at the beginning of Lent, and we will end on Good Friday. I thirst, or I am thirsty, is today's title of the sermon, and it is found in John chapter 19, verses 28 through 29. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the aesop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. "I am thirsty," or "I thirst." For the next 25 minutes, I'm supposed to preach about these two words, "I'm thirsty." And like I've said before, there are many times where it seems like the sermon is pretty cut and dry. But, and you would hope that I would finish the sermon in 3 minutes or less. This is not going to be one of them. Maybe I'll do it right before I go on sabbatical. Then you guys can't get mad at me because I'm on the way out anyway. But I promise that pun of being cut and dry, that's not how the rest of the sermon is going to go. The saying of "I thirst" is the shortest words of Jesus. Certainly the shortest thing or phrase that he said while he was on the cross. But here's the situation. He's been on this cross for quite a while now. He hasn't eaten anything or drinking anything for almost an entire day. And he's been sweating, he's been bleeding, and he's in this agonizing experience of torture. And then he says, "I'm thirsty." He wasn't thirsty for something to drink as much as it sounds like he was thirsting for some kind of liquid. There was more. So if you would, we can go back to the baptism of Jesus and we can start seeing how all these things start to come into play while Jesus is on the cross now. Jesus was baptized and immediately he was taken out into the wilderness to be tempted. And so in Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 2, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man will not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus here being tempted in this agonizing experience of starvation, instead of turning to his flesh and relieving his body from experiencing this torment, he instead turns to God by using Scripture. But Jesus is, again, turning to Scripture. While he is tempted, he is referring to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 through 3. And this is Moses' reminder to the people when they're about to enter into the land that God has promised them. "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble you and test you in order to know what was in your heart. Whether or not you would keep his commands, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna. Neither you nor your ancestors had known. To teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Thinking about this agonizing experience of Jesus hanging on the cross, he is being tempted or he is being tested once again to see what his heart condition is. He's not being tempted. I wanted to clarify that again. He was being tested to see what was in his heart again, knowing that everything had now been finished according to Scripture. He says, I am thirsty. He didn't ask for a drink of water. He didn't say, give me something to drink. He simply stated a fact, I am thirsty. There was an article I read by Carol Zaleski, and she is a Bible professor at Smith College. And the article is entitled, Thirst, the fifth in a series of Lent and Easter. She says that this scene here, Jesus' words, I thirst, go to the heart of the Paschal mystery, the culmination of humanity's longing search for living water. In Psalm 42, 2, it says, my soul thirsts for the living God. Biblical history is a chronicle of thirst. The patriarchs were nomadic well diggers in the desert and later in the promised land. Thirst brought the Israelites time and time again to the edge of mutiny. Time and time again, this desperate hope. In Exodus 17, 3, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And then in Judges 15, 18, shall I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? The prophets all saw God's hand in drought, as in the pestilence, and read signs of his mercy and everyday deliverances of thirst. Now, for me, I thought of the woman at the well, who Jesus encountered in chapter 4 of John. She came out filling her jugs of water, and in the middle of the day, and she encounters Jesus there, and Jesus tells her about this living water. He says, if you drink from the water that I have, you will never thirst again. Jesus, being the source, the life source of this living water, when he says he is thirsting, this thirsting is not for his benefit, it's for our benefit. And I'll get into that in a little bit. You see, this thirst is what drove Jesus to experience God the Father, God the Father's presence once again. Last week, Pastor John tried to be funny. And so he gave you an example of how the Psalms were to be understood, or how it was understood by the people. And he gave you these various jingles or songs, and he started the first part of the song or the jingle, and you finished the rest, and you all got a great kick out of it. And he connected with all of you, versus my jokes, which fly over the heads of most of you all the time. So John clearly connects with you better. But his point was that when Jesus was quoting Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? The people would have continued to read or in their minds finish the rest of that psalm, just like BK, have it your way. Oh, you rule, man. You guys gotta watch more TV. This is how Jesus was not only wanting to be back in the presence of his Father, but he was quoting Scripture, being reminded of those in the past and how he was relying on Scripture to get him through this difficult experience. The rest of Psalm 22, and imagine Jesus experiencing this as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cried out by day, but you did not answer by night. But I find no rest, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and they were saved. And if they trusted, and in you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm, not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by my people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. The people would have heard that quote from Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And continued to remember the rest of this as they are viewing Jesus on the cross. God had turned his back. God the Father had turned his back on Jesus, so to speak, during this time where Jesus was carrying the burdens, all of the sin of humanity being borne on his shoulders at this time, crying out, why have you forsaken me? And there were no more words spoken by Jesus over the next 3 hours. And Pastor John explained how we can know this last week. So if you want to go back, you can listen to his sermon. Through this time, Jesus, with the weight of the sin being bore on him, with God the Father turning his back, so to speak, on him, with this agonizing, suffering, fleshly death that he is experiencing, bleeding, dehydrated, hungry, grasping for breath, finally, after 3 hours of passing, he says, I am thirsty. This thirst is for the living God. This thirst is to have that fellowship back with God the Father. To thirst is to have God's face return to him. And so you will now know while Jesus is referencing Psalm 69, starting in verse 16 through 21. Answer me, Lord, out of the goodness of your love, in your great mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from me, from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Deliver me because of my foes. You know I am scorned. I am disgraced and shamed. All my enemies are before you. Scorn has broken my heart, has left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. When Jesus says, I am thirsty, in John chapter 19, verse 29, there was a jar of wine vinegar there. They soaked it in a sponge. They put it on a large stick, and they held it up to Jesus' mouth. They gave Jesus wine vinegar to drink. Again, Jesus didn't ask for a drink. He said, I am thirsty. And if you can see from Psalm 69, this anguish that he is again returning back to Scripture, returning back to God, pleading to God to not turn his face away from him. So with this temporary relief in his flesh, on his lips, receiving this refreshment, he is able to then speak the final last words, which we will hear next Sunday on Palm Sunday. Or actually, not on Palm Sunday. We'll hear them on Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday. Palm Sunday is going to be a separate service. What is it that I want you to take away from this sermon? What is it that I want to take away from this sermon? It's really more of a question of reflection. How much does your soul thirst for the living God? How much are we thirsting to have God's presence in our lives? How much is our soul crying out to have that thirst within us quenched only by the one who provides the living water? Now, through a set of terrible examples, horrible metaphors, even dumber examples or quips or whatever, I am going to try to explain this. For you gearheads out there, for those who like working on vehicles, P0171 and P0174, you will know these codes because it means that your engine is running lean. Your engine is not operating correctly. It means that when your car is idling at a stop, it will stall most of the time, or that you have to keep your pedal and continue to engage in your acceleration to keep fuel going to your engine. And if your engine is not getting the proper fuel to air mixture ratio properly, your engine will not combust. And if it cannot combust, it cannot send fire, and it will not send your engine to run properly, and you've got problems. The rest of you who are not gearheads are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But it's okay. Your soul, the engine of this car, is craving the right air and the right fuel. And if it is not getting it, it starts to sputter. It starts to shake. It does not work properly. It starts to shut down, and you've got problems. Your engine was designed for it and is not getting what it needs. Your soul was created to crave. And if it is not getting what it needs, you will begin to notice. Part two of the terrible example is for all you gym rats, muscle heads, whatever, here's the metaphor for you. Okay, if you stop working out for a long period of time, stop working out, your body is going to get to notice. You stop going for even longer than that and you try to get back into it, your body is going to hurt, your muscles are going to hurt. And if you are not refueling yourself with the proper nutrition, proper hydration, proper sleep, your body is not going to function properly. You're not going to be able to do what you had been doing before. And I had a picture of me a few Sundays ago, I don't know, it was probably months ago, of what I look like after a workout. I'm a sweaty mess, and it was gross, and I stink. And if I'm not rehydrating myself, if I'm not eating well, my body begins to notice, it begins to shake, it begins to weaken because I'm not giving it what it needs to function properly. Our souls were created a particular way, and once we experience that living water, that life that only Christ provides, that is what our soul continues to go after. And if we are not providing it with that experience with God, then our body begins to notice. We are meant to crave this living water. Jesus tells the woman at the well, everyone who drinks this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. Jesus is talking about salvation. Jesus is talking about salvation. All of humanity and all of the souls were created for this connectedness with the Creator. And once we drink this well of water, we experience eternal life. Our salvation is secure, and our soul continues to crave that source over and over and over again. Jesus says in the parable of John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. And if you remain in me and I in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be given or be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple. We know that we have tried to do this on our own. We know that we have been trying to satisfy our souls with so many other things other than the true source. And Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So why do we continue to try? There are symptoms that we go through when our soul is lacking that returning to living water. Our soul begins to notice, and then our lives begin to show what that lack is. So maybe one of our telltale signs that we are not being connected to the source of living water is that our attitudes are really crappy. We start to be selfish, living only for ourselves and not putting others before ourselves. Our attitudes become terrible. That could be a symptom of your soul not getting what it needs. Number two, we might stop wanting to read the Bible. Maybe we're not reading the Bible on a consistent basis anymore. Maybe we're not even wanting to read the Bible because we're like, it's not that big of a deal. Maybe when our relationships are not that strong anymore. We find ourselves not praying anymore. We stop thinking about how God is active and moving in our life throughout the day, or seeing how God is involved in the lives of others around us. Maybe that is a symptom for you that your soul is not getting what it needs, and it needs to be refreshed. Maybe we continue to look for cheap alternatives to fill us in our lives. Maybe we're turning to drugs, alcohol, and nicotine, binge-watching TV, viewing pornography, overeating, not eating, becoming reclusive, not choosing to come to church, being a part of a fellowship of believers, or showing up but not being engaged, just completely zoning out. Maybe that is a symptom that your soul is craving the living God. Remember, we were all created this way to continue to be connected with our Creator. And for some of us, we lose it because we have been trying to give it the wrong thing. Our soul thirsts for the living God. We were meant to thirst for the living God. Maybe you've been walking your life in a particular way for so long that you have forgotten what it is like to drink from that well, to come back to that well, to be refreshed by that well. Maybe you haven't experienced that at all in your life before. Maybe you have no idea what I'm talking about, of what it is like to drink from the source of life, the true giver of living water. For any of you who are struggling maybe with any of the symptoms that I talked about, and your soul is crying out and you are noticing from the symptoms that I explained that you need to be connected to God again, there's going to be an opportunity for you to come up here after the service and just receive prayer. If you've never had it before and you want to have it, we want to pray with you. If you're struggling right now in any areas and you know that your soul is craving for this living water again, to be refreshed, to be renewed, we want to pray with you as well. So I want all of us to know that Jesus' words, "I thirst," wasn't to drink some temporary water or to have this temporary fulfillment. He was craving God. He was thirsting for God's presence once again. And once again, Jesus was turning to Scripture for truth, and we can rely on that truth as well. Let's pray. God, we thank you again that you never leave us nor forsake us. We're grateful that you demonstrated your great love for us on the cross, that you showed up. God, that you suffered for us, that you bore our sins that we carry, that you suffered an agonizing, humiliating death on the cross to save us. And we know that our soul is thirsting. Maybe our soul has been thirsting for so long we've even forgotten how to get that passion restored or to get our lives back in order. We know that you are the only source for life. So God, as we continue in our worship, as we continue to meditate on the words that Jesus spoke on the cross, and how we've heard in Scripture how there is a yearning and a longing for you to be present with us, I pray that you would speak to our souls and our heart, that we would come to you with open arms. And I pray all these things in your name. Amen.